would convince skeptics that the Bible is true? A scientific discovery, a prophecy fulfilled, an amazing archaeological find? Well, is that a question that you should even ask? And does it matter if you can't convince people that the Bible is true? A question we'll consider next on Grace to You. What was it that convinced you that the Bible is true? Were you somehow more capable of being convinced than other people? And then again, maybe you're not convinced and don't think that you'll ever be. Bottom line, why do some people believe the Bible is true and others reject it? Well, I'll say this much, that the reasons are much deeper than you may have ever considered. And this next half hour could change your life, change your view of God's Word forever. Stay tuned now as John MacArthur on Grace to You continues a study that's all about making a case for the Bible, and that's the title of his series. Follow along now as John MacArthur begins with this bit of review.
Let's look first of all at why non-Christians do not believe the Bible. You start with the fact that they can't, that they don't have the capability, that they are void of the life of God. They can't escape the natural, they can't escape being in the flesh, and the one who is in the flesh minds only the things of the flesh, and he cannot know the things of the Spirit. They are unknowable to him. And you add the fact the message itself was offensive, unreasonable, unbelievable, incomprehensible. The people were the lowly, and the preachers were the weak and the unimpressive and the fearful, and the trembling. And you add the fallen condition, natural darkness, satanic blinding, and divine judgment, and non-believers cannot, on their own, believe the truth. So the search for God, and the search for Christ, and the search for the truth and the search to discern whether the Bible is really true and what it's saying cannot begin and end with human reason. That's why every time you see one of these deals on television, the search for the real Jesus, search for the truth, it always ends up in error. Fallen mind can't get there on its own. That's why non-Christians don't believe the Bible. Now let's ask the second question. Why do Christians believe the Bible? In spite of all of this, go to verse 6 in chapter 2. Yet, that's a key word there. You ought to circle it or underline it. Yet, in spite of what the world thinks about this, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are teleios. What is that? Well, who have been made complete. It's just a way to describe believers. We speak wisdom, understood, comprehended, embraced, and believed among those who have been made complete. We have come to Christ. We have come to the one, Paul says to the Colossians, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It isn't that we're more intelligent. It isn't that we have been subjected to greater evidences. It is that we have been made complete in Him. Paul says it, you are complete in Him. And being made complete or mature in Him, you have been given with that divine work of regeneration and conversion and transformation, not only confidence in Jesus Christ and confidence in the true and living God, but confidence in the Word of God. And so, verse 6 says, we do speak wisdom, Paul saying we in an apostolic plural. We do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age nor of the rulers of this age. This is a wisdom that I've just been telling you is unknown to the best of this world's minds and the greatest of this world's leaders. We speak, verse 7, God's wisdom in a mystery. the hidden wisdom. How in the world did we get to know it? Oh, read the rest of the line. Which God, what's that next word? Predestined before the ages to our glory. Why do I understand the Bible? Because God, what? Predestined me to understand it for my own future glory. You say, oh, do you believe in predestination? I believe in the Bible. And the Bible tells me that the reason I understand the wisdom of God is because God predestined me to eternal glory. And through regeneration and conversion, gave me faith in His Son, in the gospel, and in His Word. Does that mean that I'm now in a situation where I believe the Bible even though it's not reasonable? Oh no. Everything in it is reasonable. Its prophecies are fulfilled. Its miracles are true and attested to. It is scientifically flawless and accurate. Its history and archaeology is verifiable down to the smallest detail. But it's not that that convinces my natural reason. It is that because God has given me faith in His Word, that I now see all that to be true. Another way to view it at this point might be to look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, just to give you a little break from the text we're in. Sometimes people hang around the church for a while, they don't stay. Verse 19 describes them. They went out from us. That's pretty true in almost everybody's religious experience, Christian experience. They went out from us. Yeah, you know, so-and-so used to come here, sang in the choir, served here and there, and showed up at church. Don't see him anymore. What happened? Well, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown they are all not of us. They went out, they left, and it proves they never really belonged to begin with. But, verse 20, I love this, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you all know. What do you know? You know what he says in the next verse. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. That means no lie leads you astray. No lie leads you into apostasy. Why? You know the truth. Why do you know the truth? You have an anointing from God. What is that anointing? Or better, who is that anointing? The Holy Spirit. I believe the Bible because God gave me confidence in the Word of God as a part of my salvation and regeneration. I stay with the truth. I believe the truth. I embrace the truth. I continue with the truth. I stay involved with the truth because the Spirit of God has shown me what the truth is, and I know a lie when I see one. The end of that, or near the end of that same chapter, verse 27, as for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you. Wow. This is our security. The ever-present, indwelling, resident Holy Spirit who is our anchor to the truth. He abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. That is just a profound subject to understand. When you were saved, you came to confidence in the Word of God, and that's where you stay. That's where you stay. And the people who hang around a while and go away give evidence of the fact that they never really belonged and they never had the Spirit of God. I believe the Bible because God gave me the gift of faith in His Son and faith in His gospel and faith in His Word. I continue to that for my justification. I believe the Bible for my sanctification because the Spirit of God who abides in me continues to lead me into truth and away from error. That's why I believe the Bible. Now, I understand, as verse 6 says, that this is different than the wisdom of this age. And the wisdom of the rulers of this age, the top minds. All of that stuff is katargeo. All of it is being rendered ineffective. All of it is impotent. All of it leads nowhere. All of it is really foolish. Really foolish. But I believe, and you believe, because God predestined before the ages that we would believe unto glory. And we believe a wisdom, verse 8 says, which none of the rulers of this age has understood. None of them. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, and they wouldn't continue to reject the Lord of glory who was crucified. He sums it up in verse 9 by saying this. Very familiar verse, by the way, drawn out of a couple of passages that are being alluded to here in Isaiah. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. We know all that God has for us. We know that. We know it by divine revelation. It can't be known any other way. Eye can't see it, and ear can't hear it. And the mind, which is in view in the heart, can't conceive of it. God's truth regarding salvation, God's truth regarding spiritual and eternal life is unheard, unseen, unthought. It cannot be known by empiricism. It cannot be known by rationalism. It can only be known by divine revelation. In John 8, Jesus said this, and He's talking to the recalcitrant Pharisees. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Pretty clear, isn't it? Who believes the Bible? Those who are God's. It is a divine work. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll just wrap it up at verse 10 with a few comments thrown in. 1 Corinthians 2:10. For to us, oh, this is such a great point of summary. For to us, God revealed them. Them, what do you mean? The things God has prepared for those that love Him. The things concerning salvation, spiritual and eternal life, the kingdom, that is to say, all of the wisdom of God, all of the word of the cross, all of the word of God's testimony, all that truth that is inscripturated. To us, God revealed them through the Spirit. That is the critical thing to understand. We believe because God chose, God predestined us to know so that one day we would come to eternal glory. In drawing this to some kind of conclusion that will grip your soul, let's just take that idea as the background and reread starting in verse 24. To those who are the called. Anytime you ever see that term, the called or calling in the epistles of the New Testament, is the effectual call to salvation. We are the called. That is, called out of darkness into light, called out of death into life. Verse 26, he says it again, consider your calling, the divine call, the vivification, the life-giving call, regeneration. And why us? Verse 27, God has chosen. God has chosen. Verse 28, God has chosen. Verse 30, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus. By His doing you believe. By His doing you embrace the Word of God in your justification and your sanctification. By His doing you are in Christ Jesus. Listen, who became to us wisdom from God. It's by His doing that we are in Christ. And then Christ became to us by His presence and His power and His Spirit and His Word, wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why did God do it this way? Why did God do it this way? Verse 29, that no man should what? Boast before God. Verse 31, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so we are stunned by the confidence that we have in the Word of God. And when somebody says, where in the world does it come from? You can say, it is by His doing, because He placed us in Christ, and Christ became to us the wisdom of God. And it is our love for God through Christ that gives us confidence in His Word. And we believe the truth because we are of God. You believe the Bible, dear one, and you live in the light of its glorious truths. Your life is enraptured by its wonders because God, for His own glory, was well pleased to predestine you and to choose you and to justify you and to sanctify you through His Word. And when He gave you Christ, He gave you in Christ His wisdom. For in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I cannot separate my love for Christ from my love for the Word. At the end, skipping down to verse 16, the last statement, we have the mind of Christ. What a statement. What a statement. In having confidence in the Word of God, we have access to the mind of Christ. Grab that? It's no mystery to me how God thinks or what He desires. All that God wants me to know, He's put here. I have here the mind of Christ, and I know how Christ thinks and what He wills and what pleases Him and what He loves and what He hates and what He commands and what He forbids. I understand it all because He has enabled me to understand it, and I live my life embracing the wonder of such profound, inexplicable grace on my behalf as this is. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we know that the power of evangelism for justification is not found in clever methods or music or culturally crafted entertainment, but in the Bible. We are to present it, proclaim it, defend it, for this is the only hope and the only means by which You will justify and sanctify Your people. Always we must use the Scripture, not so that the non-Christian can see the reasonableness of it, but so that You may awaken the heart of Your own by the divine miracle of grace through the Word.
That's John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary, both in the Los Angeles area. The title of his current study here on Grace to You, Making a Case for the Bible. John, I'm certain there are some listening right now who are convinced that Scripture has power, but they're not sure how to tap into the power, how to approach their own Bible study. So with that in mind, I'm wondering, how do you recommend someone read the Scripture? What books should be first? What's more important, quantity or quality?
Yeah, I actually think, Carl, that the best way to read the Bible is repetitiously, line upon line, precept upon precept. I think that's how it gets embedded into our minds. And it was many, many years ago when I was very young in the Lord that I decided to read that way. And I started with 1 John, and I said, I'm going to read this book every day for 30 days. I'm just going to sit down and read through it and do that every single day for 30 days. Many days I read it two or three times, and as it turned out, at the end of 30 days, I wanted to keep reading it. I read it 60 days. At the end of 60 days, I said I'm going to read it 30 more days. And so for 90 days in a row, I read 1 John. I just read it. And it began to become clear, the meaning of it. The Bible is not a sort of disconnected collection of verses. These are books. They start at point A and they go to point Z. They tell a story. They go through a progression. And that's the way it is to be read. At the end of 90 days, I knew what was in 1 John. I knew that book. I knew it well. I knew where verses were on the page, left-hand page, right-hand column, halfway down. I knew phrases. I virtually had memorized 1 John. Then I went to the Gospel of John, and I took seven chapters, read them for 30 days. Then the next seven, read them for 30 days. Then the next seven, read them for 30 days. Now 6 months have passed, and I've locked down the meaning of the Gospel of John and 1 John, and I begin to realize that they interpret each other. And I did that through the whole New Testament. And if you do that in 2.5 years, you read the New Testament and you really understand it. I have shared this through the years. Many have been helped by it. It's a great way to read the New Testament. At the same time, read chronologically through the Old Testament, and the Scripture will come alive.
Thanks, John. And friend, no matter how you read the Bible, let me recommend Grace to You's flagship resource, the MacArthur Study Bible, with its detailed footnotes on every page, 25,000 total. The notes explain hard-to-understand passages, help you to cultivate an in-depth knowledge of Scripture. To place your order, contact us today.
Our address is Grace to You, P.O. Box 153, Ashford, Kent, TN248WE. And in the UK, dial toll-free by landline 0800 389 3958. And anywhere in Europe, reach us at 0044 1233 662 262. Remember, every message you hear on Grace to You, in fact, every message John MacArthur has preached, more than four decades of Bible teaching, is available for free download at gty.org.uk. About 3,000 messages, MP3 audio and transcripts, yours free of charge. Just go to gty.org.uk. And friend, something you need to know. The goal of Grace to You is simple: to help you clearly understand God's Word and equip you to minister in your home, church, workplace, wherever God gives you influence. We do that through John's careful, systematic, verse-by-verse teaching of biblical truth. To see all that's available from our Europe-wide ministry and to place an order, go to gty.org.uk or call 0044 1233 662 262. And thanks for remembering we're listener-supported. Now for John MacArthur and the staff, be here for another half hour of unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on the next Grace to You. Explore God's truth and deepen your understanding and application. John MacArthur's Unleashing God's Truth on every broadcast. Join him here on the next Grace to You.